want to talk to you this morning about the keys of consistency. It's a point that you would have heard me make before, but I want to return to it because I think that one of our biggest challenges in our personal relationship with God is consistency. And so I just want to share a few things around that today. You know, Hebrews 12 likens, pictures our life to be like a race. And it's a race, it says, with a course to run and a prize to win or gain at the end of it. And it says there in Hebrews 12 verse 1, which we'll come to in a moment, it says, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance. And you may have different versions of the Bible that use different words, but for that word perseverance, words like endurance, it actually means constancy or patient continuance. It's the image, really, of a runner who has got into a sustained pace or stride, a consistent, sustained, enduring, persevering relationship, walk with God. I believe that the goal in all of our relationships with God is to not go through life with a relationship with God that's kind of stop-start. It's to not go through a kind of relationship with God that's kind of up and down. But actually, God's heart for us is that we would actually seek to get into a stride in our relationship with God, that we would get into this consistent kind of pace where we are walking with Him, where we are running, sorry, with Him. Maintaining a pace. When you are able, if you've ever done any running, you know there's a point where it clicks and you just feel like you've got into a sustained pace. I have talked a little bit about some illustrations from running in a moment because it fits obviously aptly with it from my own experiences, but there is a definite point where when you're doing any kind of long distance running, that you kind of hit a stride or a pace and you begin to find your watch to tell you as well that you kind of find something that's sustainable and you keep going. I've known what it is to burst out of the blocks and find that there's nothing left and the legs go. I've known what it is to start too slow and then you feel like you're recovering, but the aim is to get into a sustained pace, and that is to keep going. I believe that if every one of us can get into a sustained pace in our relationship with God, we're really going to go places. We're really going to see God do some really good things. I've only ever ran one real very long run, one marathon in my life, and I was thinking about this. I clearly remember at 6 miles in thinking to myself, I'm loving this. I honestly did. I genuinely thought that at 6 miles. I was kind of ahead of, I had a strap on my wrist that they gave you for running the London Marathon. It tells you what time you want to be at what point and all that. And I looked at it, I thought, I'm ahead of it. I thought, I'm loving this. This is wonderful. You know, and you're wearing a shirt with your name on. Got Daryl on my shirt. And everyone's like, ooh, go Daryl. And you're like, yeah. You know, you're just like, and I'm thinking, I'm loving it. And you're kind of waving, thank you, cheers. You know, I don't know who you are, but thank you anyway, you know. And you're kind of running along and you're doing great. And it was a stinking hot day last year when I did it. And then I hit 14 miles and the most severe cramps I've ever had in my life just hit my legs in every conceivable position. And I absolutely locked out to a point where I just felt like I've never even had cramp. And every time like this, every time you try to move, you know, you kind of just hit your hair. And I was just at the side of the road. And I'm like, like this as I'm at 14 miles. And I'm thinking at that point to myself, I hate running. I hate this. I'm never going to do this again. At 6 miles, I'm ahead of the pace. And I'm like, I love it. You know, sign me up for next year. 14 miles, I'm like, I hate it. I'm never running again. You're never going to catch me doing this again. And I start seeing other people around me dropping out of the race. You know, and then them same people, they're still cheering your name. And they're like, go on, you can do it. And you're like, you want to try beating me right now, you know? You know, and it's gone from like, thank you, to kind of like, And then you're kind of like, you reach a place where you're like, I'm just going to chuck it in. How can I justifiably exit this marathon? you know, and maintain some kind of credit in doing it. And then I knew that my family had committed to be at points on that race, and it was the thought of seeing them that kept me going. And then when you see them and you have a hug, it's like you catch a second wind. And the Bible says here, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on, who are saying, come on, you can do this in this race that we're in life. And yet my marathon experience was a constant cycle of moments like that. Moments when I thought this is great and I was picking up pace. Moments where I was struggling and I was slowing off. Moments where I ground to a halt. Moments where I even thought about quitting. And afterwards, when I finished it, I looked back at my intervals, and my intervals suggested that very same thing. I had run a very inconsistent race. In the training beforehand, I'd found a consistent pace and was much quicker than I actually transpired to be on race day. That inconsistency meant that I didn't get to where I could have been in the time I could have been if I'd have found a consistent pace. Now, I'd like to just put my hand on my heart and be real honest with you and say, I think that our Christian life has a lot of race moments like that. I have had a lot of race moments like that. I've had moments in my Christian life, in my relationship with God, where you feel like this is going great. And you just feel like you've picked up some pace and you're going somewhere. I've had moments when the cramps of life kick in and you kind of, and the pace has slowed right off. I've had moments, friends, come on, let's be honest, when I've pulled up at the side of the road and thought, this is too hard, I'm going to chuck it. Anyone else? I think I'm going to quit. So how do we get then to a place where the goal is a consistent pace so that our Christian life, our relationship with God, doesn't feel so kind of stop, start, fast, slow. Do I keep going? Can I keep going? How do we keep going? Well, it's like in Hebrews chapter 12, which we're going to go to now. It's like God has sat down and written out a running plan to help us. He's written out a plan to help us to run well and to finish. You know, you write out a training plan when you're doing anything like this. And it's like God has sat down and in Hebrews 12, he's inspired three verses, which are the keys to consistency, the keys to a consistent relationship with God. And I just want to talk about those three things with you this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The New King James Version, I actually prefer the way it puts this verse. It says this: let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God says there are three things in there, three big things that hinder a consistent relationship with God, that actually hinder us getting into a consistent pace, a steady, consistent pace with Jesus. The first one is weight. The second one is sin, and the third one is distraction. I want to talk to you about those three things this morning: weight, sins, and distraction. It says, let us throw off, according to God's plan, this is how we run well. Number one, let us throw off everything, it says, that hinders. Let us lay aside, the New King James Version says, every weight. Please turn to the person next to you this morning and say, we've got to lose some weight. What do I mean when I say we've got to lose some weight? I'm actually talking about the implication is really simply this, just that there are actually things in life that actually weigh us down in our relationship with God. There are things in life, in this race that we're running, that get in the way. The actual Greek word that's used there is the word encumbrance. There are things in life which we kind of carry and add to our life, but actually, sadly, what they do is they actually slow down our relationship with God. We don't kind of go at the pace that God wants us to go at. You may find this very hard to believe, but I'm about a stone heavier now, right? No, it's not hard to believe at all. I'm just being daft. But I'm about a stone heavier now than I was when I was running at my best. I'm not running as much or at the level as like I did because, yeah, for a number of reasons. But anyway, I'm about a stone heavier. You know, I just have one big issue in my life, really. I love food, okay? And so I'm about a stone heavier. And what I've found is, coincidentally, my times are now much slower than they used to be. And yet, I get really frustrated that I'm not achieving the times I used to be able to achieve. And yet, the simple situation is that the added weight has become a hindrance. It has slowed me down. Okay, there's no rocket science in that. It's made actually running much tougher. And so I would find I could go much further distances. And now when you do shorter ones, I think, how on earth did I ever used to run that? And you're kind of sweating it and it's harder and your body's working much harder and you're running much slower. Now, conversely, I'm running with my darling wife who has lost quite a lot of weight. And I'm really pleased for her that she's now going faster than me, right? And she's lost weight and she feels much better. And as a result of that, huh, the tables have turned and her times are now getting much quicker because we've shifted stuff that she didn't want to be carrying. And so our experience now is kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum because we were going to do a 10, well, we did, well, I say we were going to do a 10K together. She dumped me after 2.5 miles, but we were running together in training. She said, oh, I won't be able to keep up with you. And that, oh, you'll be all right, babe, you know. And then, oh, I won't be able to keep up. We're in the training. I went out. I was hanging on for dear life, you know. You try and get to the end and just, like, play it cool. And she was like, cool, that was hard work. I was like, yes, breathe. You know, kind of, you're like, and you're completely, like, you've put so much more energy and effort into it. I think, I didn't used to be this bad. Like, how am I got like this? And, you know, we had this run. And we'd done 6 miles, and she finished like 2.5, 3.5 minutes ahead of me. Who's counting? And and she was waiting at the finish line, chatting to a friend. And I came around the corner, and I saw her, and I thought, I don't even want to do eye contact right now. So I just walked straight by. And she was chatting. I heard her say, I'm just waiting for him to finish, but I can't see him. And I'm like, I don't want you to see me. And I walked straight by, and she comes to me, she goes, how did you do? You know? I said, how'd you do? She goes, oh, brilliant, I loved it. She goes, how'd you do? And these were the words out of my mouth. I am never running again. The frustration it brought. There are things in our life which slow our relationship with God down. They slow our spiritual progress down. They make running the race of faith difficult. They hinder our relationship with God. Let me just give you a couple of examples from the Bible that link that make a link between how weight can be connected to sin. But in a minute, I want to just point something out to you because Hebrews makes a clear distinction between weight and sin. But there is weight that can be connected to sin, which we carry. But there is also weight, which interestingly is not inherently sinful stuff. But there's things that we add to our life that slow us down. So just a couple of examples of weight, sin-related stuff. Luke 21:34, watch yourself lest your hearts be weighed down from dissipation. Okay, I'll be honest with you, I had to go to the dictionary and get a definition of dissipation. But it simply means this, it's like overindulgence, squandering. It can mean like squandering money, energy and resources. So watch yourself lest your hearts be weighed down, hindered with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Colossians 3 verse 8, get rid of, lose it, lay aside, because it will slow you down, anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. 1 Peter 2 verse 1, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Right, so a few things that the Bible says that can slow us down. I'll leave you up there just having a look at that for a moment. But as I said, Hebrews makes this clear distinction because not every weight is a sinful thing. It's simply a weight is just anything that's hindering our relationship with God, any encumbrance. And so the important thing that we understand when we read this is that running this race is not just about focusing in our lives, is what I'm doing wrong or right? Now, of course, that's an important question to always ask, but it's not just to focus on, is everything in my life sinful or not? Because not everything is sinful, praise God. Right? That, so you don't actually run this race well by just judging it. Is it sin or is it not sin? Although, please hear what I'm saying. That's an important question to ask. But it's actually by asking ourselves, is what I'm doing getting in the way? Is it an encumbrance of a greater love, of a greater faith, of a greater relationship with God? Is it slowing me down in my pursuit of that? Is it getting in the way? Is it a hindrance? So it's not always, is what I'm doing a sin, but is it helping me to run for Jesus, or is it getting in the way? Does that make sense? Please nod if it does. So John Piper, speaking of this verse, I really appreciate his stuff, said this. As a boy, I was mightily helped by having my very categories changed in the way I lived my life. I commend it to you. Don't ask about your music, your movies, your parties, your habits, just what's wrong with it. Ask, does it help me run the race? Does it help me run for Jesus? Young people, take that on board. I just encourage you with that. I just leave that there. Beth just recently was doing, as a number of our youngsters doing, the D of E, the Duke of Edinburgh stuff. And she brought home a very large rucksack and a list of required items that needed to go in this rucksack. And there was, you know, time was ticking on, let's just say that. And we were getting near to the day, and there was a list of things that kind of needed. And we got so close to it, it came down to me being the only one who was available to actually go and get the stuff. Now, that is dangerous. If you send me shopping, Claire never sends me shopping, like, you know, by choice, only out of necessity. And so I had to go shopping, and there was a number of items that Beth needed. The trouble is that when I'm shopping and it says one bottle of water, I'm one of them guys saying, you don't just need, you're going to need more than one bottle of water. You know, how long are you going for? What if it's really hot? You're gonna drink that really quick. How are you going to fill up? I'm not going to get a one bottle of water. I'm going to get a four. I'm going to get a pack of four bottles of water. Bag of sweets. Oh, one bag of sweets is not going to last enough, is it? They need more than that. I'm going to get three bags of sweets, right? She's not just going to want to drink water. This is seriously the conversation in my head as I'm going around Sainsbury's. She's not just going to want to drink water. If she just drinks water every day, that's a bit boring. I'll get her a pack of cartons of orange juice, right? So I came home with these carrier bags full of all these items. We loaded Beth's bag up. We loaded, after quite a number of repacks and unpacks and everything like that, we loaded up and she went, to lift this thing and put it on her back. And as she put it on, she goes, it's so heavy. And I'm like, you're so dramatic, you know? Give it here. And I went and picked it up. I'm like, oh, my life. And I put this thing on my back. It's like pulling your back. And I'm like, but you need it. So off I send her to, on her D of E. And it was windy and it was hard and it was a tough day. And actually, the teachers ended up pulling them out because the conditions were so rotten. But the weight of this bag, and when she came back, she put her bag down. And guess what came out? Excess bottles of water, orange juice, bags of sweets, and stuff like that. I didn't need them. Now, what I'm just, it's an illustration of what? What I'm saying is, in my head, that wasn't sinful, was it? But I just thought, this is what you need. And I kept adding. I kept adding. But it wasn't. And the stuff actually in our life, I think, oh, that's what I need. That's what I need to focus on. That's what I need to pursue. That's a value that I need to go after. And actually, we add, we add, we add. And actually, we are slowing ourselves down. It's becoming a hindrance. And so we said, next time we pack that bag, what is a lesson that we've learned? This word, simplify. Let's simplify it. This actually lay some stuff aside that you don't actually need. And that's what Hebrews is saying. Look at your life. Have a really good look at your life and simplify. This is a word that God gave me. Simplify. Have a real good look at your life. Be a touch ruthless with it and go, what actually needs to stay and what needs to go? What's getting in the way of my relationship, my run, my race with God? Okay, number two says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. Now, just highlight this because God spoke this into my heart. That so easily, would you say that with me this morning? So easily. I want you to remember that. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles or ensnares. The New Living Translation says the sin that so easily trips us up. Friends, if we're going to run well, and if we're going to find a consistent pace in our relationship with God, there are things in our life that so easily trip us up that we need to deal with. There are things which so easily cause us to sin, and God wants to deal with those things. God spoke into my heart very clearly on the Sunday night when I drove home from Kellen to put my caravan away in the yard. And I was talking to God about some things in my life, saying, God, does that stay or does that go? And God spoke into my heart. And I'll tell you about one of the things in a moment. And he said very clearly to me, Daryl, that is your so easily. And that took me to this scripture. I didn't have this scripture first. That's what God spoke to my heart. He said, that is your so easily. And God said, I want to deal with people's so easilies. What is the so easily in your life? What easily trips you up? What easily can cause you to sin? And it can be different things for each one of us. Our so easilies can vary. Each one of us has them. I have them in my life. But they're the things that always seem to trip us up or cause me to sin. They can be certain things we do. They can be dispositions, mindsets, attitudes, weaknesses, passions, decisions. What is your so easily? What seems to trip you up or tie you up or ensnare you or entangle you? One of my big so easilies was social media. And that Sunday night when God spoke that into my heart, I dumped all my social media accounts. And I'll tell you why it was a so easily for me, because it so easily caused me, and this is not for everyone, because some people manage their accounts really well. I'm just talking about my experience. It was a so easily for me because it so easily caused me to think wrong things about myself and wrong things about other people. It so easily took me to the place whereby I would read what someone had written, and in my head I was drafting a reply that would go back, but it wouldn't be a reply I'd actually really want to ever put on there. But a reply that so easily had suddenly tripped me up and made me think something that was wrong, negative, judgmental, critical, whatever it might be. Or I would compare my life to other people who always seemed to be doing wonderful things, and my life seemed very boring and average. And I would so easily be tripped up by it into thinking wrong things about myself, and the devil's got you in that place. You know, I was talking to Bridget in the office. She said, I heard a brilliant quote about Facebook once. I thought, this is so good. She said, the trouble with it is we compare our everyday lives with other people's best bits. And so we're looking at thinking, oh, my life's so boring, so rubbish, so average. And Jason Manford, the comedian, I wouldn't often quote him in my preachers, but he actually just said he went through a bout of depression and linked it entirely to that. He felt like he was an overweight, rubbish dad, a rubbish husband who wasn't doing well for his kids. He said it was entirely for that. It became a so easily in my life. It became a so easily to pull my phone out of my pocket and log in. Can I be really honest with you? I think it's the best thing to do. I would find my phone in my hands and I think, how did it even get there? Praise God, in the last week, that's not been coming out of my pocket as much as it was before. The Monday after I'd done it, I was mowing the lawns. I kept thinking, what's my phone doing in my hand? Putting it back in my pocket, mowing my lawns. What's my phone doing in my hand? So easily. Now, what's your so easily? I don't know. Is it a disposition, a mindset, an attitude, a weakness, a passion, a decision? God wants to deal with our so easilies, because if God deals with our so easilies, if we let him do it, our whole spiritual life is able to pick up speed. We're no longer ensnared by things. We find a new freedom. We break free from stuff and we run faster. Anyone up for that? Want to break free from some stuff? I want to pick up speed. I want to run faster. Lastly, number 3, verse 2, it says this: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, this word fixing or looking is a really interesting word, because in our mind, I don't think we quite understand actually the fullness of what is being said there. We think it just means, well, I've just got to, you know, gaze at Jesus. And I understand why we think that, and of course that is right. But actually, the full meaning of that, the Bible definition, the original language, if you like, that's used there of what it means to fix or look, it means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something else. This is my third point. Remember I said it was weight, sin, and distraction. So the whole emphasis is you can't really focus on Christ until you appreciate in your life there are some things which are distracting you. And so actually you have to look away from some of the stuff you've been focusing on, and then you fix your eyes on Jesus. You focus on him. So you turn your eyes away. You can't really focus on Christ and your relationship with him until you look away from the stuff that's distracting you from it. Okay. Let me just give you the definition of distraction. That which diverts or divides attention. Sorry about that. That which diverts or divides attention. It prevents concentration. It's the drawing away of the mind. It's the state in which attention is called in different ways. There are certain things. Sorry, I'll be with you in a minute. State in which attention is called in different ways. So the whole point is there are things that do that in our relationship with God. I don't know how you find him a preaching right now, but as I'm preaching to you, do you feel completely in tune right now with what I'm saying? Are you following perfectly what I've just been talking about in the last couple of minutes? Or is anyone struggling to concentrate? Why do I do that? Because it's hard to focus when you're distracted. I couldn't even read my quote through. But there are things in our life which divert or divide our attention. It prevents us from concentrating on Christ. It's an obstacle to concentration. They draw our mind away. And it's a state in which our attention is called in different directions. It means to be pulled apart. You've heard me say before, the Middle Ages, that form of torture which the French called distraction. Four limbs, tie it to a horse, and let the horses run. And they called it distraction. It means to be pulled in different directions. And so Hebrews is saying, is there stuff in your life that's pulling you in different directions? So to run well, we need to focus on Jesus and on our relationship with him. The challenge is this, friends, we live in a day and age where there is more to distract us than there ever has been. Really, honestly, truthfully, this thing can kill your relationship with God. Everything's so accessible and everything, you know, and it's there and it pings and it rings and it does everything else. You know, one of my favorite buttons on here now is the do not disturb button. I was thinking, wouldn't it be great if life had one of those? Just go, bing, do not disturb. It's easy to get distracted. I get distracted when I'm preaching God's word by people's faces. Serious? You know, right now I'm looking at a couple of people like this. You're fighting it. You know, I look out, I see some people, I think, boy, they look really bored today. This is a stinker. You know, I look out, I find other people, they're really dialed in. I think, I'm just going to focus on them. That's where my encouragement is right there. I walk out, I see someone breaking out the snacks. I'm preaching God's word. You know, Jesus really, is that popcorn, sweet or sugar? No, sugar or salt. Big bag, small bag. That was 85p, actually, when I bought that in Tesco's the other day when I took Jake for a haircut. Oh, sorry, Jesus loves you anyway. It happens so easily. How many people have ever been driving, you're looking, you're listening, you're chatting, and then all of a sudden you go, oh no, I've missed my exit. And again, not every distraction is a sinful thing. Think about Mary and Martha. I'm nearly done. Think about Mary and Martha. You know, Luke 10, you know, Jesus has come to their house. I mean, Martha wants him to come there, and Jesus, I mean, Jesus is there in the house. I mean, we're talking about this, you know, mighty, incredible man who's doing phenomenal signs and wonders and miracles and speaking, the Bible says, with authority and power like no one had ever seen or heard in their life. And he's healing crazy stuff and doing phenomenal things. And Jesus is in the house. He's come to their house. And Mary's just like, man, I'm sitting at his feet. I'm hanging on every word. I'm listening to everything he's got to say to me. And Martha's darting around. She's cooking a meal. She's preparing things. She's getting the drinks and the food. And she's darting around. And she's doing all this preparation and serving him. And in her heart, she's convinced she's doing the right thing. Is it a sinful thing to make a meal? Is it a sinful thing to want to serve Jesus? Is it a sinful thing to just want to kind of bless them and help them? You can't say it's a sinful thing. She wasn't doing anything sinful, but Jesus had to show, hey, Martha, the problem is this. The focus is wrong. The attention has shifted. And what we've got is we've got Mary, whose attention is on me, and we've got you. You're doing all this other stuff, but you're not really focused on me. And Martha gets the hump with Mary and says, tell her, get off her backside and help me out. She needs to do something. And Jesus says, what? Mary has chosen that which is better. That which is better. It says in verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Mary's focusing on Jesus. Martha's focusing on all this other stuff. And she doesn't even realize how distracted she is until Jesus shows her heart. It's like, oh boy, I thought I was doing the right stuff. You know, is it just possible that in our life we're going, Jesus needs to go, and hey, actually, that's a distraction. You go, oh boy, I thought, that. Phew, didn't even see that. God speak to our hearts. Jesus, show us them things. Because distractions were drawing her away from Jesus, and that can happen in our relationship with God. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I've never had the devil hold a gun to my head, but I've had him distract me. You've heard me say it before, he uses weapons of mass distraction. Think back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden. You think about the fall. How did he cause Adam and Eve to fall? Distraction. Forget all the beautiful things that God has made for you. Forget all that God has said you could enjoy. This is what you really need, fruit from this one tree. Oh, their eyes are shifted from all that God has in his heart for them, that all he's blessed them with, and all his, that's the thing I need. Doesn't he do that still today? God says, I've got so much in my heart for you, so much I want to bless. I've got plans, so much I want to do for your life. And the devil's going, no. This is what you really need. And we're distracted. And it kills their relationship there with God at the level that he wanted a relationship with them. He knows if he can divert our focus and attention off Jesus, we'll struggle in this race. Our pace will drop. We may even drop out. And that's why he tried to do the same with Jesus. He tried to get him off his mission. That's why it talks about here in Hebrews 12, we've just read, about how we look to him, how for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, he endured it. He went through it. He didn't lose his focus. I admire that. One of the many things I love and admire about Jesus and want to emulate, that focus, that single-mindedness to not get distracted from what matters most. Because distraction is dangerous. When Claire first learned to drive, we were in a queue of traffic. She'd pick me up from work. I worked in a sports shop. We were sitting in a queue of traffic. She'd just learned to drive. My boss came round in the outside lane and bipped his horn, like just to say hello, so see you later. And as he went to say hello, Claire looked. She went, oh, look, it's your boss, Spencer. Shh, bang. And we parked in the back of a new car. She didn't know I was going to tell that story, but I've told it now. So she's in the side room, so I'm safe, yeah? But distracted driving is the number one cause of car accidents. Google it. It causes more accidents. It must be true if it's on Google after all. Causes more accidents than speeding and drink driving. It's a killer. Distraction is a killer because it pulls your attention and focus from things that really matter. It pulls your attention off of something greater to something less. So distraction can kill marriages, families, relationships, quiet times, finances, moments, opportunities, our focus, our peace, our joy, what could have been. Our relationship with God, the impact and effectiveness of the Word of God in our life, it can kill our experience when we come to church. I said about this earlier on, Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, the four conditions of the heart there, and the four conditions of soil representing the conditions of our heart. And it says in verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And verse 22 says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, I'm in church, God. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. I can be listening to God's word and be distracted by the worries of life and money. And this is not my stuff, this next bit, but I just thought this was good. I read this. Just know it says there, the worries of this life, not even the realities or responsibilities of it, the worries of this life. Not even the stuff that's actually happening, but the stuff that I'm worrying might happen. So I'm here and God's trying to speak to me and my mind's racing. Well, what about this? And if that happens and if they do that and what about that? And what about that call the doctor's got about make to me? And what about if my son goes through without a decision at all my life? What about if they say that? And what about if I say the wrong thing? And what about if I ain't got enough money in the bank to pay that bill? And all of a sudden God's saying, I'm trying to speak to you. And we're going, oh, you can't run when you can't breathe. And so, yeah. It's proven a high percentage of what we worry about never even happens. And so this distraction's in my mind and I'm choking and suffocating on my thoughts. It's killing the impact of God's word. It's choking the life out of it in church. And I miss what God's saying because I'm distracted. We go into God's presence and distractions break out and God's saying, man, I've got stuff I want to speak into your heart, but you're distracted. Forget that email, that text message, whatever else it might be. Put it to one side. God's saying, I've got stuff I want to speak to you. So maybe you feel like you're struggling with God. Band, could you just come back? And please, thank you. I just would love us just to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, just as we close. But you feel like you're struggling with God. Maybe you feel like I'm distracted and choking on my worries or the cares of this life. Really, the whole invitation of Hebrews is really this, and that is to focus on what really matters in our life. And we need to apply that to all areas of our life. One of the other reasons that I had to jack social media in because I knew that I was in a room, but I wasn't all there. You know, I found myself, and my wife drew my attention to it, watching movies with my children. Thursday night is movie night in our house. And as best we can, we try and keep that every Thursday night as our bit of time because life is so busy. And we'd be watching a movie and I'd be on my phone. My kids would say something to me. They'd repeat it 2-3 times and then they get cross with me and I get cross with them. Like, what are you shouting at me? And they're like, I just asked you the same question 3 times and you haven't actually even heard what I've said. I'm kind of in the room, but I'm not. In the room. Do you know what I mean? In our finances. Oh, that's what's really important. I'm distracted. In the use of our time. Oh, that's what's really important. I'm distracted. And it's pulling me away from my relationship with people. And most importantly, as I said earlier, it can kill our relationship with God. That's ultimately what we're fighting for and talking about today. So yeah, apply it to all areas of your life that I need to focus on what really matters. But especially apply it this morning to your relationship with God. So as we close, I just want to ask you a question. How are you running? How's your relationship with Jesus? Do you need to acknowledge, one, that there's some weight, there's some hindrances that are slowing your relationship with God down, and you need to lose them. You need to shift them. You need to lay them aside. Two, I want to ask you today, what is the so easily in your life? What is the thing that so easily trips you up and so easily seems to cause you to sin? God wants to deal with that. And thirdly, I just want to ask you, do you need to acknowledge that you've been distracted? Distracted from the greater to the lesser. So it's time to get our eyes back on Jesus. It's time to focus on our relationship with Him. And it's time to start running again. Hallelujah.